Heute gibt es von mir ein Intro vor dem Intro, ganz ungewohnt für euch, denn vor unserer Folge Sand, Sun and EVs E-Mobility in Spain möchte ich noch kurz ein bisschen Kontext geben. Transparenz an dieser Stelle, ihr wisst das, ich bin selbst Mitarbeiter bei der ChargeCloud, Head of Marketing, und deshalb ist es mir wichtig, diese Perspektive nochmal kurz einzuordnen, bevor wir dann gleich mit Joel nach Spanien blicken. Bei mir ist jetzt noch Oliver Adrian, CIO und COO bei der ChargeCloud GmbH aus Köln. Ja, Oliver, danke, dass du dir kurz Zeit nimmst für mich. Ich habe mal eine ganz grundlegende Frage an dich, bevor wir einsteigen. Was macht eigentlich genau ChargeCloud? Wo positioniert sich die Firma in der Wertschöpfungskette der E-Mobilität? Kannst du das mal kurz für mich einordnen?
Ja, ganz, ganz lieben Dank für die Einladung, Georg. Ich freue mich, hier zu sein bei euch. Genau, was macht die ChargeCloud? Wir sind einer der führenden CPMS-Provider in Deutschland. Wir haben jetzt sehr, sehr viele Abkürzungen in der Elektromobilität. CPMS steht für Charging Point Management System. Das ist in dem Sinne nichts anderes als das Backend für Ladeinfrastruktur. Also wenn ihr in Deutschland oder auch in anderen Ländern und eben auch in Spanien, wo wir heute ja drüber reden, Rumfahrt, Ladeinfrastruktur an der Straße seht oder bei einem Arbeitgeber, bei einem Hotel, einem Restaurant, braucht diese Ladeinfrastruktur eine Software, mit der sie läuft. Das heißt, diese Software muss die Ladestation erstmal betreiben sozusagen, also dass wirklich der Ladevorgang gestartet werden, gestoppt werden, der Energiefluss gezählt werden kann. Darüber hinaus dann aber eben auch relativ komplizierte Anwendungsfälle wie Multi-Standorte, also ich als Charging Point Operator, als Ladesäulenbetreiber, betreibe viele Standorte, viele Ladesäulen in mehreren Regionen zum Beispiel. Einmal für, wie gesagt, Arbeitgeber oder in Restaurants oder Hotels. Das möchte ich alles abrechnen können. Da möchte ich die ganzen Geldflüsse verwalten können. Ich möchte, dass Arbeitnehmer, wenn die zu Hause laden, rückerstattet werden. All das sind sehr, sehr komplexe Anwendungsfälle. Und wir ermöglichen diese Anwendungsfälle für die Ladesäulenbetreiber mit unserer Software. Das ist das, was wir machen. Das machen wir europaweit. Und genau, wir sind gestartet in Deutschland vor 10 Jahren. Wir werden 10 dieses Jahr. Wir sind sehr happy, dass wir da sind. Viele, ihr kennt das selber, viele Firmen in der Elektromobilität sind gekommen und dann auch wieder gegangen. Wir sind sehr, sehr glücklich, dass wir ein sehr lineares Wachstum in den letzten Jahren hatten. Wir sind sehr, sehr stark in Deutschland gestartet. Da sind wir auch Marktführer in Deutschland und genau expandieren jetzt auch seit mehreren Monaten in den Rest Europas.
Ja, cool. Vielen Dank für die Einordnung sowohl zum Produkt, dass man es so ein bisschen besser versteht, denn E-Mobility-Software, da gibt es ja viele. Wir sind so die Software, wo man dann einfach die Ladepunkte verwaltet, das heißt als CPO, ChargePoint Operator zum Beispiel oder auch andere Firmen, du hast gesagt, Multistandorte, komplexe Themen, da sind wir bei ChargeCloud dann die richtige Anwendung. Jetzt noch eine Frage, welche Rolle spielt denn Europa aktuell so in der Unternehmensstrategie? Wie geht's da quasi mit der Expansion konkret voran? Denn heute sprechen wir über Spanien. Ist es das erste Land?
Spanien ist nicht das erste Land. Wir sind zuerst nach Italien gegangen, dann nach Spanien. Wir haben jetzt auch Büros in Frankreich und den Niederlanden. Wir gehen auch international ein bisschen anders vor als andere Marktbegleiter. Das ist vielleicht nochmal wichtig zu sagen. Da gab es erstmal die Perspektive, dass viele halt in den nordischen Ländern, in skandinavischen Ländern vor allem gestartet sind, weil da, wie wir alle wissen, traditionell die Elektromobilität wesentlich stärker und früher gestartet hat. Und wir haben uns sehr bewusst dafür entschieden, von Süden nach Norden zu gehen, weil das eben jetzt auch die Märkte sind, wo das Wachstum noch sehr, sehr, sehr groß ist. Und unsere Kunden sind, wie gesagt, Ladesäulenbetreiber, aber auch ganz viele Installateure, ganz viele Firmen, also Wholesaler, wie wir sie auch nennen, die wiederum dann an Installateure Ladesäulen vorkonfiguriert verkaufen, die diese dann wiederum betreiben können bei Hotels, Restaurants oder Arbeitgebern oder auch Depots, also E-Trucks, super spannendes Thema, können wir vielleicht nochmal zu einem anderen Zeitpunkt drüber sprechen. Viele unserer Marktbegleiter sind auch dann über den großen Teich in die USA gegangen. Leider muss man dann auch sagen, teilweise gescheitert, weil die USA, wie wir alle wissen, gerade im Bereich Elektromobilität ein wenig schwierig unterwegs ist, um es mal vorsichtig auszudrücken. Wir haben einen Kernfokus auf Europa. Das heißt, da sind wir gut, da werden wir auch bleiben und es wird nicht darüber hinausgehen. Das ist ganz, ganz klar, zumindest nicht in den nächsten 10 Jahren. Und Spanien ist hier aber wirklich einer der, genauso wie Italien, vielleicht sogar jetzt noch mehr, einer der ganz, ganz spannenden Märkte, weil da geht es eben mit der Elektromobilität jetzt richtig los.
Ja, danke für die Einordnung. Dann, ich weiß nicht, wie das Wetter gerade in Köln ist, wahrscheinlich nicht besser als bei mir hier in Heidelberg. Ich schätze mal...
ich hätte gehört, traditionell ist in Heidelberg immer besseres Wetter als bei uns, aber ja...
Ja, mein Lieber, ich kann es ja sagen, wir haben jetzt gerade 6 Grad, aber ich würde sagen, wir machen mal den Deep Dive E-Mobility in Spain und hüpfen mal rüber nach Spanien, oder? Bist du dabei?
Super, ganz viel Spaß.
Sehr gut, danke für deine Zeit. Let's go, ab nach Spanien. Ciao.
Schön, dass du eingeschaltet hast. Hier ist Bytes and Batteries, dein E-Mobility-Podcast. Eine neue, ganz frische Ausgabe mit den 2 großartigen Gastgebern.
Viel Spaß bei dieser Folge wünscht euch GreenFlash, der Marktführer für die Planung und den Bau intelligenter Energiesysteme in Industrie und Gewerbe. Bis zu 70% weniger Energiekosten? Mit GreenFlash und GreenCore AI wird das zur Realität. GreenFlash. Change Energy Now.
Hello and welcome to Bytes and Batteries, your e-mobility podcast. In this episode, we will talk with a special person, a colleague of mine, and this episode is in English. And yeah, today we're taking you on a sunny trip to Spain to explore its evolving electric mobility landscape. Also pretty new for me, and I'm your host, and I'm joined by Joel Martin, country manager Spain at ChargeCloud. Maybe some of you know I also work at ChargeCloud, but this is not a commercial, whatever. It's really about Joel and his experience in the market in Spain. Yeah, Spain has made strides in electrification in the recent years, but the market is still transitioning. Hybrids remain popular, I think, but the public charging network is expanding and the government is rolling out new incentives. We'll delve into what it means for drivers and businesses today and how Spain compares to more mature markets. But first, let's meet our guest. Yeah, Joel. So Joel, welcome to the show. Great to have you here. As I said, you're a colleague of mine. Hello. Yeah, you also speak German, I think.
Yeah, genau, genau.
A little bit.
Ich habe ein paar Jahre in Deutschland gewohnt. Das war vor 10 Jahren schon, also 2014. In Bonn 2 Jahre und 1 Jahr in Hamburg. That was 10 years ago already, so I think I forgot all my German.
Bad for me and my English.
Something on my head.
Nice.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for welcoming here. Really excited to share my experience. They're just my experience, right? My opinion. So some things I say, probably they are not 100% sure, but I think the goal is just to share at least what's the status of e-mobility in Spain. In my experience, we can talk more about my experience, what I've done. But yeah, I'm really happy to be here by Bytes and Batteries. And yeah, willkommen to all the people that's listening.
Super nice introduction. And yeah, I want to know more about you. So who are you? What's your professional background, Joel? And how did your journey lead to immobility? This is what I ask every guest.
Yeah, very short. I will explain. I'm from the 90s, so I'm already 35 years old, super old, I would say. Doesn't fit to my person to be that old. I'm an engineer in the Polytechnical University of Catalonia because I live here in Barcelona, by the way, sunny Barcelona, which is today super sunny still. Best place to live, honestly. And I'm an engineer. So it was super fun, my story, because I started studying at the 2008 when the crisis, you remember this crisis, Lehman Brothers and everything started. And all my friends at school, they wanted to go to Germany for working, right? When we finished, because we were doing engineering, right? Exactly, I was doing industrial engineering. So they all were like, okay, I'm learning German because I want to go there. I want to find a trainee program or whatever in Germany, Stuttgart, Munich, probably something like this. And I was like, okay, I want to be different. I don't want to go to Germany, maybe some other place. So I went for Erasmus, not Erasmus, but it was called International Mobility to Japan, to Tokyo, because I'm very big fan of video games and anime and so on. Also cars. So I went to Japan. When I was back, I met some German people there. And when I was back, life just brought me to Germany, of course, because I started working in a tier one supplier for automotive industry, right? So I was in Germany in Kautex Textron, which is a company in Bonn. And then I made my trip to Hamburg to work in Airbus. I didn't like the aerospace field, so I went back to automotive, working in different suppliers. And then it was 2019, before the thing with the corona and so on, when I was like, okay, I was quality technician, let's say, quality specialist, let's say, right? So I was more taking care of the quality of the products. We were doing plastic components for Audi, BMW, and so on. Because I knew a little bit of German, so I was always taking responsibility for the German customers. And then I was like, okay, it's fine. I have already experience on that, but I want to do something else for the planet, right? For the ecological transition and so on. So by that time, it was this company called Wallbox Chargers. In Barcelona, it was a unicorn that we have here. So a big company, founded just in 2015. So super new. I was like, okay, I need to do everything to enter into this company. It took me 2 years, actually, because I applied at the beginning. They rejected me. And then I was trying to find a runaway. Like, okay, if I talk to this person, then he will introduce me to the other one. In the meantime, I did a master in business innovation. So it was a master, only 1 year. Because I'm also very fan of innovation, of startup programs, you know, to do something different than normal, like big enterprises and so on. And then by the time, finally, I made it to enter into Wallbox. I was there 2 years. For me, honestly, at the beginning, it was 2021, at the beginning. When I joined there, I thought it was the future. Really, like, I don't know, it was kind of the startup feeling in a kind of growing, super fast growing company. And everything was super different. A lot of companies and CPOs, we'll talk a bit more, right, about, well, I mean, you know what's a CPO, of course, and your audience know. So all these operators, they were coming to Spain from the UK, from Germany, from anywhere. They were traveling to Spain to see the factory. It was amazing, right? Then everything just fell down. Wallbox entered, maybe we can talk a bit more afterwards, but it's in a really bad situation right now. And then after 2 years, I decided to step out and then go to another hardware manufacturer in Spain. It's called Vega Charger. Vega Chargers, it's a really like super smaller company than Wallbox, of course, but it was kind of a more crafted and customized product, right? We were doing DC chargers, and it was not really specific for the Spanish market, but for the whole Europe. We were selling. I was responsible for the Nordics countries, not Germany, of course, because you have this amazing Eichrecht certification, which is not helping anybody, honestly. But I was responsible for the Netherlands and then above, like Denmark and the Nordics. And then after almost 2 years, life brought me into contact with ChargeCloud, which was some company I didn't know at all, because ChargeCloud is not known at all in Spain, not in Italy, not in South. And then something just sparked inside me. It was like, okay, software company, I never did software. For me, it was completely, even when I'm an engineer, I don't know anything about coding or anything, or completely not known. But it was about the challenge to be country manager, to have responsibility over everything that happens in my market. I'm very active in LinkedIn, so I have a lot of people connected in LinkedIn in Spain. So I was like, okay, I think I can do that, right? So it was more like this thing that I told you about innovation on startups that spark inside me. I say, okay, I think I can do that. And I took it first because it was a complete change inside the company. We're talking about ChargeCloud as a German company going international. It was a huge challenge. And also a challenge for me in terms of, okay, I think I can do it. Let's just see what I can do and test myself. And here I am after some years.
As Chacho's country manager for Spain, you really have to have so many skills. And I absolutely know you're the right person because I knew you before from LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so cool to work together now. Yeah. So, Joel, let's talk about the current landscape. How would you sum up the state of e-mobility in Spain right now and what's driving adoption and where are the biggest gaps at the moment? Just for a starter, can you give us a quick overview, please?
The situation in Spain regarding e-mobility, I would say it's kind of 3 to 5 years behind Germany, honestly. I mean, we closed 2025. We're recording this in January 2026, so it's a good moment to do a recap of last year. We sold, for the first time in history, more than 100,000 vehicles, like full electric vehicles. I mean, in Germany, I think you sold last year more than 500,000 vehicles, so five times more vehicles. It's true that in average, we sell over 1 million vehicles in general, so combustion, diesel, whatever, altogether 1 million, and you sell like 2.8 million vehicles, so way more. But still, you see the difference. We closed the year approximately with 8.59% of all sales in full battery vehicles. And then we have a difference in the plug-in hybrid. We sell like 15% of plug-in hybrid. So it's a huge difference. I think you sell in Germany more full electric vehicle than plug-in hybrid. I think, and we the opposite. I think it has to be more with the perception of the people. It's true, and here I'm being very generalistic, but in Spain, we are very price sensitive, and we put price over, let's say, how eco is the car or how is the impact on the ecosystem, right? So it could be one thing like this. I mean, I know that you Germans take care a lot of our environment and so on, which is super nice, I mean, honestly. And in Spain, we are not that much, right? First is price and then this. And it's true, of course, that last year's, at the beginning, prices of EVs were quite high for us. So it's true that our economy is not that powerful as the German one. This, of course, impacts. And EVs were a bit more expensive, so we were like more chill. But now we have a lot of EVs that they are cheaper. Let's say we have the Renault 5. We have many Dacia or many BYD, like the Dolph Surf, and many others, right? Now we are releasing, we can talk more about it, new Cupra Raval and the VW ID Polo, with version ID Polo Cross, which is, by the way, built in Spain. And many other options, more economical options, which is going to boost things. But definitely, we are not that evolved there. And of course, something which is very important is also the number of charging points. We have around 53,000 charging points, public charging points in Spain. You have three times this. You have around 150,000. And 70% of our chargers, they are AC, so below 22 kilowatt. So we don't have that much fast charging infrastructure, which of course affects the people that have to move between cities and so on. We are not a big, so such a big company like Germany, you are more people and a little bit bigger, but still, like, the distance between Barcelona, which is the second city, and Madrid, there are 700 kilometers. So, I mean, if you have to travel there quite often, it's not that easy, let's say.
Okay, thanks. So the EV adoption is related also to smaller EVs and cheaper EVs, right? But I think Germans love their cars, for sure. But I think EV adoption, there will be a tipping point, and this is also when we have smaller, more affordable cars. But this is so the first point to change from a combustion engine to an electric vehicle, right? And when it comes to charging, is it possible to drive at the moment from Barcelona to Madrid? And do you have reliable charging, not only points, but charging hubs, like bigger hubs at the moment?
Yes, definitely it's possible because I did myself. I have a Cupra Born, which is VW Group, so I'm proud of being in the group. And Cupra, which is a Spanish company, so I'm super fine with this. My car is not a big capacity car. It's 58 kilowatt hours. So it's not, like 5 years ago, it was a super high standard car. Now it's like a slow, medium capacity. Now we have cars like 80, 90 kilowatt hour, 100 kilowatt hour, which is amazing. So 58 kilowatt hour, I did a trip from Barcelona, which is in the northeast of Spain, to the southwest with the border of Portugal. So it was 1,200 kilometers with my wife and a one-year-old kid. So if I did this, it's completely possible. Of course, you have to stop in places, right? We have our situation in Spain is that we have really big utilities. We have Endesa, which is Enel Group, which is a very big company from Italy, right? We have Iberdrola, which is the first, let's say, utility, which they have 10,000 charging points across Spain. So quite a big CPO. And then we have some other smaller CPOs. For example, Thunder, which is with Z. I think they are not still in Germany, but in France, they are building a lot. They only focus on ultra-fast charging network. So they build 200, 300 kilowatt up front. So they do it very well. And then, of course, we have international players like Atlante, Allego, Fastnet that they are opening now. We are now starting with Milence, focusing more in the logistics side, but still, you know, and many other players that they are building exclusively a super fast network. But of course, an AC charging infrastructure is way less expensive. And DC is super fast, expensive, of course. They started like 3-4 years ago with 50 kilowatt, that by the time it was fast, now 50 kilowatt. Honestly, I don't stop at 50 kilowatt. If it's not like I want to have lunch or dinner in this place, not for a stop and go, right? So we have to definitely improve in this place. But honestly, Sander and Iberdrola and Fastnet and the other ones, they're focusing on the main roads. We have clear highways, like on the Mediterranean coast from Barcelona to Valencia, from Madrid to Barcelona to Zaragoza and Madrid. And every 60, 100 kilometers, you can find a super fast hub on the way. So not difficult.
This sounds nice. And if you would live in a more rural areas on the countryside, would you buy an EV at the moment in Spain or not? Or does it depend on maybe if you have a wall box at home?
Exactly. I would like to say this. Honestly, and this is data that I know, 30% of the population in Spain, they own a parking slot at the place, right? 30%. So I think that mostly all early adopters of the EVs in Spain, they are these guys, the ones with the parking slot at the place, because it's so convenient. I have one at my place. I live in a more or less new building, and I have the parking slot just under my place. So it's super convenient. I arrive home, I plug it, that's all. Super cheap, because we have cheap electricity. I don't know in Germany, but we pay now like 10 cents kilowatt hour at home. So wow. I would say it's nothing.
Germany is like, you know, 20 cents or 25 cents is okay and is normal, but 30, it could also be 30 cents at home. So AC is still expensive, even if you have a wall box at home.
So we pay 10 cents. So everybody with the parking slot, they definitely should have a wall box at the place. So if I would live in the countryside, normally I would have parking slot or space, you know, in my land or whatever. So I would put a wall box. If I don't, then the situation is a little bit more complicated. It's true that we have some subsidiaries in Spain, right? So the government gives money. It depends. If you're living in a town with less than 5,000 inhabitants, they give you more money to do it because, of course, you don't have that much infrastructure, right? So you can get some more money for there, and it's easy. If you don't have the possibility to do that, then you have to rely on public charging. And I would say that normally in the countryside, you don't find that much options, sadly, right now. So it would be a challenge, I would say.
Sun, sand, and cheap electricity at home, three good reasons to move to Spain.
Yeah, definitely.
If we look at the main obstacles to EV uptake in Spain, it's about cost of cars, maybe the development of charging speed like AC versus DC, and also the rise of a public charging network also in rural areas, or bureaucracy. So what's going on with bureaucracy in Spain? Do you have it? Do you have it not? Because I think this is a really big blocker in Germany. It's not that we doesn't want to build more chargers. It's some projects can't be done because of bureaucracy or are blocked for half a year or more. This is what I hear.
Let me put you some example. I told you we have around 53,000 charging points, public charging points in Spain. Around 14,000 of them, they're still not operative. They are not working because either they are not managed by anyone. Typical charger in Aldi or Lidl supermarket that we have in Spain too, which I like and I go there. They were bought by Aldi. They were put it there. No one is taking care of this. One day they stop working for whatever reason. The guy in the supermarket, they don't know how it works. It can stay there 2 months, 3 months. Nobody complain anything, right? This is the less because now everything is more professionalized. So all charging points are taking like, hey, you can make a business model out of it. So do some management. But bureaucracy in Spain for starting the giving, so to give the electricity, the power, the right power, and everything is super complex. It's related to the owner of the cabling, right? So the distributor of electricity in Spain, we have like three or four. We don't have much more. We have Endesa, we have Iberdrola, with EDP Spain, and a few more, right? So the cables are property of some private company. Once you go to the, we call it node, once you go to the node and say, hey, I want to have here, I don't know, 500 kilowatt. The distributor has to give you an answer in 30 days. They wait until the 29 days and the answer could be no. You don't access it. But they don't tell you how much power they have. No. And then the CPO has to give another request. Can I have 450 kilowatt? Another 30 days? No. You know, that's stupid. They were having a lot of problems. And even if they say yes, the project could take up to 2 years to build a new transformation place to give you the power and to start everything. Then you buy the chargers at the beginning. You have to place them because until you don't have all the civil work done and the charger there, they don't give you power or they don't start the process to give you power. And then 2 years after, the charger is already obsolete because they started with 50 charger, a kilowatt charger, and now you have to install at least 150 kilowatt, right? So everything is obsolete and it's a mess. They did also some change in the law. So they modified this to have real schedule time planners. But at the moment, nobody's controlling this. Nobody's after the distributor say, hey, you have 30 days. You have to meet this request. Or not, you know, I don't know, some penalties or whatever. Nobody's putting penalties. The government isn't putting penalties. So in the paper, it shouldn't be like this. But in real life, it's still like this. So it's a huge problem. It's a really huge problem. Some projects, they still take 2-3 years to receive the power. Crazy.
Then people don't buy EVs because the charging network isn't so well developed or too slow because the 50 kilowatt chargers were operated now, but were installed like 2 years ago or whatever. And yeah, so the same bureaucracy than we have in Germany. And let me ask you about politics and incentives, Joel. Are there any initiatives or incentives to push EV adoption at the moment?
Yes. I've seen that, by the way, you in Germany are now giving away subsidies. That's very good. Maybe you can tell a bit more. In Spain, what's the situation? We have something called Plan Moves from the government. It was managed by any communities in Spain, similar to the Bundeslands you have there. So Catalonia, Madrid, Galicia, Andalusian, all of this, right? So it was managed by them, by all the Bundesland, right? And it was a mess. Imagine, I bought my last car in August 2024. We are January 2026. Still didn't get the money. I did all the process, all the paperwork. Again, sending invoices, go and back and everything. Still, I didn't get the money, right? So, again, in paper, it looks good because they offer you 4,500 euros. without anything. If you give your old ICE car, so combustion car, they give you up to 7,000 euros and also some money for the charging point. But in real life, you have to spend your money, buy the car, and then at some point in life, they will send you the money back. But it's not a connection between the money you spend in buying the car, because now when I receive, if this year I receive this money, it's not to pay the car. Maybe I will go holidays or, I don't know, to pay some bills or whatever, but, you know, not real. It's true that for 2026, and this is a huge topic, they changed this. Now they changed from Plan Moves. Moves means like move, right? Plan Moves 3 to Plan Auto 2030, Spain. And now they are changing into a better place because now the it's managed by the central government, so from Spain itself. And in the car dealership, they are resting you the money directly when you buy the car. So it looks amazing, right? So the car dealership is the one requesting the money. They are getting it and you don't pay this part. The good thing is like this. They released this plan in early December last year. Still 23rd of January, still is not in place. Still, the car dealership, they don't know exactly how much money they have to offer. When is this process starting? They don't know anything. If I go now to buy a car to a car dealership, they would say like, hey, I cannot do any discount because I don't know what's going to happen. So they keep your data. And at the moment that the government releases it properly with all the documentation, then they will apply it. But of course, I mean, who is buying a car now with this all this uncertainty, right? That they don't know. And just for some data, last January 2025, in Spain, they were sold like around 5,800 fully EVs or battery EVs in Spain. This year, the 23 days already, 2,000 BEV only sold. So less than half of it because of the uncertainty that the customers, they don't know if they are getting some money. How much money? They don't know still. Maybe it's the same, 4,500 euros, or maybe it's 2,000 euros. So it's not a real incentive, right? Then, of course, we have some other tax exemptions. Like you have to save 3,000 euros back in your Steuer Erklärung. I don't know the name in English. Tax, whatever. Steuer Erklärung. I remember this word because it was very important in my time in Germany. and yeah, something like this. But of course, you make some money or you save some money on the petrol because in Spain, we pay now 1.5 euro a liter of 95, which might be a bit cheaper than in Germany, but still quite expensive. But the energy at home, 0.1, it's nothing, I would say.
Very interesting, but let us not just focus on the negative sides, which we have in both countries. What do you think is better in Spain when it comes to immobility? It can be people's mindset, it can be less bureaucracy, which we don't have, we talked about it already, or other things. Is it maybe the renewable energy mix, because you have a lot of sun and renewable grid, and maybe this also is the point, but you said when it comes to environment friendliness mindset, Germany is also leading here, right? What is better in Spain from your point of view?
I mean, of course, it's a mix of feelings of everything, right? I would say in Spain, we're very price sensitive for everything in general. Pricing of the cars is one super important point. Now that we have more economic cars, but also nice cars, you know, it's not a kind of a Chinese car, which you see them and like, oh my God, what's that? We have Ide Polo, it's super nice. I mean, I would like to see him already in live and see him, right? So it's about pricing, of course. It's also about the energy or the amount of money you can save with energy. In Spain, by law, all new buildings and houses have to have like solar panels, right? With the amount of sun we have here, we produce way more energy than the one we consume. So people that right now live in one single house with a roof, they don't spend anything in petrol, let's say, in energy for the car. So it would be a guy who has an IC car right now and spend 100, 200 euros a month in petrol with an electric car, they would spend zero. So, you know, completely for free this point because they are producing more sun than the one they are using. And we are, or companies are pushing really hard to get solar panels everywhere. For example, in my building, we also have solar panels. We use it for the heating, and we also use it for kind of a centralized energy management, whatever. So, you know, we don't pay money for the electricity in the common area and so on. So definitely we have a lot of energy, right? And we also have a lot of wind in Spain because we have a lot of coast, so a lot of wind. So some days, even last year, I think also in Germany, if I'm not wrong, full day was powered or supplied by complete renewable field, right? So it's completely fine. But again, price has to play a huge thing. Again, you know the top one and top two most sold car in Spain last year? EVs, I mean, I'm talking EVs. What would you guess?
I would guess Cupra Born could be one. And I also would guess, maybe if you're price sensitive, like a Dacia. This is my guess. The third one, I'm not really sure. Tell me.
Okay. Number one, Tesla Model Y. Number two, Tesla Model 3. Number three, Kia EV3. Teslas, they are over 35,000 euros. The Model 3, 35 something. Model Y, 40 something, right? So you see the kind of people that they buy EVs right now. It's people that they have a good income and they can buy these cars. We are still not transitioning into those. The most sold car in Spain, by the way, is Dacia Sandero, which is an ICE car, right? Because it's like 12,000 or 15,000 euros. Now we have to see with the Dolphin Surf, with the Kia EV5, you say, and with the ID Polo, Cupra Raval, and all of these new things, right? Because I think they're going to make a change. And another factor that applies here, in the big cities, I'm talking about more than 20,000 inhabitants, which we have a lot of them in Spain. Now they put the policies that during the weekdays, so from Monday to Friday, you cannot enter with cars, let's say diesel older than 26, so from 2006, and petrol before 2000. All these people that they have this, they have to change into a new car, right? And they are saying like, hey, this is only the start. In couple of years, only plug-in hybrids. So because we also have some labeling that you have there. In Germany, you have this green 4, right, in the car. This label with a 4, which is green, the 3, which is yellow, right? I don't know if you change that. In Spain, we are now having this. We have yellow B for the old ones, yellow C for the combustion. Then we have Eco for the hybrid, normal hybrid. And then we have a 0 for the plug-in hybrid with more than 80 or 100 kilometer range with only electricity and fully electric vehicles. So now they are saying, now you can start with you can drive with the C. In a couple of years, only with the Eco. And then in 5 years, only with the 0. People that now buy a car, has to buy a car because they have an old one or whatever, they are thinking, okay, should I buy now a Dacia Sandero for 5 years? Or should I already go into the real 0, even when it's a plug-in hybrid, you know, but then have a car for 15 years, which is normal in Spain. 15 years normally is the life cycle of a car. So this is helping, I would say.
Nice. Thanks for the insights. And if you have so much renewable energy and your price, and especially people are more price sensitive, and the cars are getting cheaper and the petrol isn't so super cheap, it's still expensive, I think, even compared to Germany, then it should be a no-brainer. This could be the tipping point to switch because it's much cheaper to drive an electric vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is definitely. If you see it from the logical point of view, makes no sense. But then, you know, people, they are... Immobility started for early adopters, right? So for freak people, that people that they are so much scared of this, Elon Musk followers, and then there's the typical Spanish guy saying like, oh my God, I'm better than all of those. I want to hear something like, you know, the noise of the car. I want to smell whatever, right?
In Germany, we say Diesel Dieter, which is the absolutely hardcore petrol head car guy.
Exactly. The petrol head people, which no sense at all, but they are like just like this, you know, just to feel special. It's true that from the government, they were pushing like, hey, you have to change to electrical car or whatever. And they don't, of course, nobody likes that you are forced to do something, right? So from this point, I can more or less understand them. But honestly, it makes no sense. Everybody, and this is the real fact, everybody, 99.9% of everybody that tried an electric vehicle, they stick to it and they just have it. They never go back.
Good point. And my last question for you, Joel, do you see electric trucks or other commercial vehicles taking off in Spain anytime soon? So what's the outlook here and what's the status of e-trucking? Because this is a real big topic here, I think, in whole Europe and Germany. I don't think we're at the forefront, but it came faster than I expected maybe 2 years ago.
Okay, let me answer your question from 2 points. The first one is the prices or of AC and DC, like in the CPOs at the street, right? We are paying way cheaper pricing, so charging prices in Spain than compared to Germany. In Spain, for instance, for AC, we pay roughly 30 cents, 35 cents for AC, up to 22 kilowatt, of course, but normally we charge 11 kilowatt, probably like you. And for DC, it's normal for like 150 to 100 kilowatt, we to pay 40, 45 cents, 50 sometimes if it's in the highway, you know, 50, 55 maximum. I think in Germany, you have way more expensive prices, right? But in Spain, it's like this. So it makes sense to travel and to use those networks because normally I charge at my place, which is super, super cheap. And for every 2-3 weeks that I travel and have to charge in some places, it's not a cost. And actually there, because the biggest CPOs are the same utility that supplies energy to your place, I have some benefits from the one I use at my place. And I pay half of the price in every place. So I pay for 200 kilowatt, 27 cents per kilowatt hour. So in the highway. So it's nothing, honestly. This is the first thing. So electricity is cheap also for e-trucks. And then everything comes. Right now, the trucks are way more expensive than the regular diesel trucks. They say that they pay kind of double the price for the e-trucks compared to the other ones. But the thing is that big companies, big enterprises like Amazon, IKEA, Decathlon, MediaMarkt, you know, all these big players, they are forcing their logistics companies, which are other companies, you know, they don't have internalized all these things. There are other logistics companies, transport people and so on, forcing them to jump into e-mobility. This is what's making them change. For instance, I have real experience with project with IKEA, for example, and Decathlon. They are like, because, you know, IKEA Sweden, they are like, hey, for 2040, we want to be net zero, let's say. So they have to have a plan for that. And they are, of course, they have a plan for the factories, for the stores and shopping centers and whatever. And then they have to cascade all of this into their logistics and forcing the company. So they are doing the great change. And I want to share this experience because it's happening here in Catalonia. We have the crazy story of a company called Transbernal. Maybe I can send you the link afterwards and you can put it in the description. Transbernal is just, let me say like this, a crazy guy that it's so, this is a company with logistic company moving, transporting porks. So like animals and animals from the places they grow until the places they, I don't know, process the meat, let's say. And Transbernal, it's a guy, regular guy, like not nothing special, but just a regular guy that at some point was like, okay, I want to help the environment. I would like to change all my 35 regular diesel trucks into e-mobility trucks. They did an agreement with Mercedes-Benz, and they bought two of the eActros 600, right? Just to practice, just to do some small things. They are located in Lleida. Lleida is in between Barcelona and Zaragoza, so northeast of Spain, close to the French border. they did a kind of an MVP. They have a big place where they store the cars with a roof. So they put a lot of solar panels. They put a couple of batteries with, I think, 500 kilowatt hour capacity and 20 charging points, both for cars and for trucks, right? Maximum 400 kilowatt power. And then the guy just started with this. Now they are welcoming another truck from the same Eactros. And then his plan was like, okay, I have a deadline, like I think in 2035 or something like this, to replace all the 35 diesel trucks into e-trucks. But let's do it one by one, right? So I start with two, now another one. By the end of the year, he wants to have 5 or 10 or something like this. And he's combining this with making profitable the investment in chargers. So he knows that he's moving animals from one place to the other one. The trucks are going to charge overnight. But what happened during the day? You know, the chargers cannot be there doing nothing, right? So he's opening the chargers because he's kind of next to the highway between Barcelona, Zaragoza, and Madrid. So he's opening the site during the day for regular people that are going there. And then during night, he's doing charging overnight with the trucks. And he's even thinking about creating kind of an alliance with other logistics companies. So they build all a hub, let's say a super fast hub at their places, so they can share best prices, of course, and share this network across Spain. So they can all benefit from the investment of the other ones. And just for instance, the price he's setting, this 300-400 kilowatt, it's 17 cents kilowatt hour.
Oh my gosh, this is really nice when it comes to TCO, I think, the total cost of ownership. And I think this is a great model. You can share, you can earn money, because you also have to invest in the structure you're building at the depot. Awesome to hear that. And I think this is a great, how should I say, showcase for others to join this project. But the same, you need someone to do this and to start it. And then it's in the news and really
pioneer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's true. I mean, even say that though, it's true that e-trucks in Spain is like 30 e-trucks in the whole year, right? So nothing. But still, you know, this guy has three other companies are already buying, again, like for Kia, for Decathlon, for MediaMar, all of those are including already e-trucks. We have Scania, we have MAN Group, we have Renault Trucks and Mercedes-Benz, of course. So, you know, they are doing things. Milence, for instance, opened a logistic hub for e-trucks, basically in Zaragoza, which is one of the logistics spots in Spain. And, you know, like more and more companies are focusing only in this. For instance, also NG Bioeneo, which is also having a lot of presence in Germany and in France. They are also stepping up in Spain for doing kind of a hub corridor for trucks. So things are moving slower than we would like, of course. But still, you know, some pioneers like this Transbernal, they are doing great things, I would say.
Awesome to hear that. And yeah, as you know from LinkedIn, at the moment, I'm driving an Opel Corsa E. So and my wife is Opel Grandland. So the Grandland is engineered and built in Germany. But I'm pretty sure that the Opel Corsa was built in Spain. And if I get the next one, hopefully it will be delivered with an e-truck from Spain to Germany. I think it takes some time, like in every country, but we are definitely moving in the right direction. It was super nice to hear what's going on in your beautiful country, which I really love. And yeah, I hope to visit soon. We will see us also soon and meet in Cologne in Germany. I'm really looking forward to this. When this episode is out, we've already met. And maybe we'll share some photos on LinkedIn, I'm sure. And yeah, really, thanks a lot for joining the Bytes and Batteries podcast today and giving all those insights to our audience. I really enjoyed listening and also have a good podcast voice, I have to say. Maybe you should also start your own. Because e-mobility is always also a mind shift. And to influence people, your influencer on LinkedIn, maybe Zoom with your voice, audio influencing on Spotify.
I'll think about it.
Nice. I wish you a beautiful evening, a beautiful weekend. And if you, the audience, liked our podcast, like our English talk today, and to move across the border of Germany into Europe and visiting sunny Spain, then please leave us a comment. It's possible on most platforms, especially on Spotify. Leave us a review, maybe 5 stars for JL. This would be great. We're out. Thanks a lot for joining and see you and hear you. Bye.
Genau. Thank you so much. Vielen Dank.
Danke dir.
Diese Folge wurde präsentiert von Greenflash, dem Marktführer für intelligente Energiesysteme in Industrie und Gewerbe. Jetzt Energie neu denken auf greenflash.de.